If you would go to Luke, the 11th chapter, please. Luke chapter 11. We've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Teach Us to Pray. And the Lord is answering our prayer. I believe. And teaching us how to pray. In Luke, the 11th chapter is where we get this thought and phrase from. Luke 11, verse 1 says, it came to pass that while Jesus was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And if you look at Matthew 6's account of this same thing, he began immediately telling them how not to pray. He said, don't pray, I'm paraphrasing, to be seen of men. Amen. That's right. Don't pray for somebody else's benefit, hearing what you're supposed to be praying. You know, sometimes people are, they're talking to somebody else over God's shoulder. Do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. They're calling it praying, but they're saying it for somebody else's benefit that's hearing it. Well, the Lord said, don't do that. Don't do that. And he also said, don't pray vain repetitions. That's the same words over and over and over. He said, that's like the heathen pray. And he said, they think they'll be heard because of their much speaking. But apparently they won't be. And so you'll hear people, you know, get real adamant about, oh, I believe in prayer. I believe in prayer. Well, so do millions of people who pray to false gods. It's not just praying, but praying a prayer that God can hear and answer. And John 15:7 talks about that. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done to you. So we cannot have a successful prayer life apart from getting his words in us. And it's through what he said to us that we find out what his will is and his ways and what we can and should pray. Well, then he went on to give them what we call the Lord's Prayer. And what it is him telling them and us how he prayed. Because that's what they were asking him. They said they had been observing him pray. And so then when he finished, they said, Lord, teach us how to pray. Why say that? Well, they saw how he was praying and they saw results. Right? And so, you know, these are Jewish men that grew up around synagogue and had heard scriptures before and no doubt had prayed and maybe come out of a house where their parents prayed or grandparents prayed, heard prayers in the synagogue. But something about how Jesus prayed made them realize they didn't know how to pray. Right? And the reason why you say that is because there's a lot of religious traditional praying that is absolutely useless. In fact, some of it, people would be far better off if they didn't pray it at all. Because it's actually offensive. It is contrary to what God said. And so when we say teach us to pray, we're serious. How many understand it would be foolishness, arrogance to think you know everything about how to pray? Right?
Yes, sir.
So let's all say it again. Say, Father. Teach us to pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Teach us how to pray. Now, if you haven't been with us, we've covered, I think this is our 10th part on this. So go online, and there are the other 9 parts are there. It won't cost you anything. There's no charge. You don't even have to sign up for anything. It's there waiting on you. Just take some time. And we're stirred up about it. And I'm confident that it will help you much if you go back and see this. And really what we're talking about today is built on what has come before. So in the 11th chapter, let's look on down to, verse 2. Let's read this before we go further. He said to them, when you pray, pray like this, after this manner. Now this, what we call the Lord's Prayer, you can pray this in less than a minute. And so we know Jesus prayed sometimes all night long. And we know he's not praying the same thing by rote over and over. He told us don't do that. So this is not something to pray by rote in vain repetitions. Jesus is answering their question. They said, teach us to pray. In other words, teach us to pray like you pray. And he is showing areas of prayer and focus of and priorities of prayer. And you could take the items that he talked about and you could spend 3 hours on each one of these in prayer. Not by repeating it over and over. How should you start a prayer? You need to know who you're praying to. Is that right? Our Father, which art in heaven. And you want to start off every time with respect, reverence. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You don't even begin to understand anything about God unless and until you show some respect. This is why the Bible is absolutely a closed book to unbelievers. They can have multiple doctorate degrees and imagine themselves to be geniuses, and that's why they will scoff and mock and think it's not anything to it, because it's their eyes are closed. Their ears are closed. They can't understand it.
Yeah, that's right.
Why would the Lord say, don't cast your pearls before swine? Right. Don't give that which is holy to the dogs. What does that mean? Don't give precious things to people who don't value them. Don't do it.
Yeah.
Just don't do it. And I know that, you know, sometimes you can see what other people need and if they would just listen and do it, but if they don't want to hear it, most of the time you need to be quiet. Somebody didn't like that. I'm telling you. You can just drive people away. And harden them against truth. And also you got to remember, you're not the only one God can use. Especially with kinfolks. Yeah, a lot of times, family, brothers, sisters, whoever, people close to you, they reject it just because it's you. So we need to be led by the Spirit. And the precious things of the Lord should not just be thrown out and tried to push off on people who act like you're irritating them to even be talking. Don't do that. Don't do that. I know I was flying one time to a place years ago on a commercial airliner, and there was a guy sitting down beside me, a stranger, and I was going to minister when I got to the place where I was going, so I had my Bible out. And so he looked over and looked at me and kept going, and he was, you could tell he is kind of a rough sort. And so he finally he looked at me and he said, so what do you do? You know, I said, I'm a preacher. He said, huh? And so he was ordering drinks and cussing and carrying on. So then eventually, you know, the flight goes on. And so something came up about what the word he said. You believe in all that? I said, yeah. Didn't say anything else. And so eventually he looked at me again. He said, so you're a preacher, huh? I said, yeah. And I mean, an hour or so went on. Didn't say, he finally looked at me and said, so you ain't going to try to pray for me or nothing like that? I said, well, you don't believe in it, right? He said, no. I said, it wouldn't do any good then, right? I went back to my mind. We went on another hour or so. And finally, you know, we're getting ready to come in to land and all that. He looks at me kind of desperate. He said, "You're not going to pray for me?" I said, "Well, if you want me to." See, the Bible said the Lord would make us fishers of men. Do you understand? You don't take your lure and just slap it on the fish and go, "Bite it. Bite it." That's not how it works. So what was I doing? Anybody know what I was doing? I was going, there it is. How'd we get into all that? Huh? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Reverence, respect. That's how we got into it. Your kingdom come, your will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. So what's the first things you should do in prayer? You need to know who you're praying to, right? You need to show him respect, reverence. And you need to start off with what does he want, not what you want. Hmm? What does he want? What do you mean? Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Later, you get to give us this day our daily bread. That's all right. But you don't want to start with that. Hmm? Because if you're not in line with his will and his plan, the rest of it's really wasted. So without going through this again, we went through parts of this earlier in the study. If you skip down to verse 9, he's still talking about these things. He said, "And I say to you, ask." Amen. Is there asking in prayer? Yes. Oh, yeah. But you'll find a lot of people don't do this. They haven't been taught. Or they've got a misconception about grace, that everything has already been done, and so I just leave it all up to God. Yeah, but he said ask. Yeah, but I don't want to, Lord. I just want to leave it up to you. That's defiance. That's refusing to listen. That's disobedience. If the Lord said ask, whether you understand or whether you don't, what should you do?
Ask.
You should ask. And there are many reasons why we should ask. We've gone into some of this. One thing that we saw in the Psalms, that the scripture says, the heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth he has given to the children of men. And one of the worst doctrines in the world is that God is controlling everything in the earth. It is absolutely not true. It's not true at all. God gave the earth to human beings. Gave it to us. Well, that explains a lot. Right? As to why things are in such a mess. And if God just imposed his will on us and the earth after he gave it to us, that's not intervention. That's interference. And if God was going to say, no, you can't do that with the earth, he would have interfered or stepped in when man bowed his knee to the devil. Huh? And this thing went off into curse and death. God would have said, you can't do that. No, he'd have stopped it. He didn't. He really gave it to human beings. And human beings are taking it off the rails. And the enemy is called, the devil himself is called the God of this world. Jesus referred to him three or four times in the book of John as the prince of this world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 refers to the devil as the god of this world. And you remember when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, the enemy showed him, the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And he said, all of this has been given to me. And if you'll fall down and worship me, it'll be yours because I can give it to whoever I want. Now there are people who say, well, that ain't true. If it wasn't true, it wouldn't have been a temptation. And this whole presentation is misleading. No, it obviously was a temptation. Why? Who gave it to him? Not God. Adam and Eve. Human beings. And so much of what is happening in the earth is not God. God is not in it or around it. And that's what the problem is. And unless you ask him to, unless you ask him, how many remember Jesus said in Revelation, behold, I stand at the door and what?
Knock.
He didn't say I'm coming in whether you want me to or not. He didn't say you will do what I want you to do. That's not how he works. That's not how he works. What if you won't open the door and invite him in? Then he won't be in with you. And you will be on your own in this ungodly world. And that's not good. The Bible talks about in Ephesians that without Christ, you are without hope and without God in the world. And so, it's irritating to me and people who know God a little bit that everybody keeps, all these folks keep blaming God for all these things that are happening. You take these storms that we just prayed about. God's not in them storms. God is not in those storms. He is not stealing from people and killing people and destroying people and towns. Jesus told us exactly who does that. It's the thief. Well, God's not the thief. Jesus is not the thief. Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. And so you never want to look at something like that and say, well, wonder why God did that to them. They must be bad people. Number one, God didn't do that to them. I said, God did not do that to them. And if you're entertaining ideas that he did, you're in trouble. Because you're believing lies about God, and that will undermine your faith, and you won't even know what to receive and what to resist. You don't know what's God and what's not. And don't take my word for it. Put your nose in the book.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, sir.
Put your nose in the book.
Yes, sir.
No, the difference is, I was looking at the other day, for millennia, I guess hundreds and hundreds of thousands of years, storms have formed off the west coast of Africa and come across the Atlantic and developed in the warmer waters. I mean dozens of them every year. For hundreds of thousands of years. This is the earth. Since the fall. Since the curse. And so you're going to have stuff like this happen. The difference would be if you would ask God to help you. And protect you. Because it's going to happen. These things are going to be around. The difference is God's people who know him, they can ask. And they can believe. And they can speak in the name. And we can have mercy and we can be spared. But the Bible told us there's going to be heat. There's going to be cold, right? We can't change all of that. And the Bible said the earth is actually groaning and travailing. Why? It's actually aging and dying. And it's not supposed to be this way. God didn't create it this way, but because of man's sin and the curse and death. And it's affected it so bad that God's just going to have to create a new one. A new heaven and a new earth that doesn't have any curse in it. But in the meantime, do you want God involved in your affairs? Even though he is not at all involved in most of what's on the earth, can you get him to be involved with you? If you'll ask. And if you will seek.
Yes.
and if you will knock.
Amen.
See, that's what Jesus said after teaching about prayer and giving us what we call the Lord's Prayer. He said this, and I say to you, what?
Ask.
That's part of what you do in prayer. And if you'll do, what will happen? What will happen? Will it be given to you if you don't ask?
No.
Why would you assume that when he told us to ask? What else should you do?
Seek.
Seek. What will happen as a result of seeking?
You'll find.
We gave reasons why we should pray, and we're up to number 5 in our study. Number 1, we said we should pray because Jesus prayed. And the servant's not above his master. If Jesus needed to pray, we need to pray. If he prayed a lot, we need to pray a lot. If he prayed sometimes all night long, there are times we need to pray all night long. And if we don't think we do need to pray, we're wrong. We're deceived. And he and numerous scriptures in the New Testament tell us repeatedly to pray, even to pray without ceasing. Pray without stopping.
Yes.
Number 3, we pray. Why should we pray? Because things can be changed.
Right.
Everything is not written in stone.
Right.
Everything is not predetermined and has to be no matter what. Things can be changed. I want you to say that out loud. Things
can
be changed. They can be.
Uh-huh.
They can be. Number 4, why we should pray is because there is so much we don't know. There's so much we don't know. The Bible talks about in Romans 8, you know, that the Spirit helps us because we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And there are things we need to find out that we don't know. And one of the big ways that you do this is in times of prayer. Seeking the Lord,
Amen.
You will find. Seeking for the answer, you'll find the answer.
Right.
Seeking for direction, you'll get direction.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you don't seek, will you automatically find?
No.
Why would you assume that? And then thirdly, he says, knock. And that gets to our 5th reason that we've already been talking about. Why should we pray? In order to work with heaven in the earth. In order to work with heaven in the earth. Here are the first parts of what we call the Lord's Prayer. Our Father. Where?
In heaven.
In heaven. Hallowed be your name. What's next?
Your kingdom
come. Now, his kingdom is also called the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. Your kingdom come. What else? Your will be done where?
On earth.
Where?
On earth.
On earth. As it is in heaven. Now, if everything that's happening in the earth is already God's will, you don't need to pray this.
Yeah.
It's already being done. But obviously it's not. And that's what we said. If God just pushes people aside and says, no, this is what I want in the earth and I'm going to do it. Well, then he didn't really give the earth to men. He's taking over, and if he came and did things without anybody asking him to, that's not intervention, it's interference.
Yeah.
And even though he has the power, he has chosen not to. He's given it to us. Now, there's a time frame with this. We don't know exactly what that time is, but a time's coming when this thing's going to wind up.
Yeah.
And the trumpet's going to sound.
Yeah.
And when it's all said and done, have you read Revelation? You ever read back there? When it's all said and done, it is going to be God's will done in its entirety, just like in heaven. And when that's done, there will be no more crying, no more pain, no more sorrow, no more dying, no more curse. That's the will of God. It's always been the will of God. Let's talk a little bit more today about that third phrase here. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. And what else?
Knock.
Knock, and it shall be opened. Why do you ask? so something would be given to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why do you seek?
To find.
In order to find something. Why do you knock?
So it can be open.
In order that something would be open to you. Now, if you're knocking, that means there's some kind of barrier between you and what you want to get into. Right? Otherwise, you wouldn't be knocking. There'd be nothing to knock on. Right? But there is a closure. There's something that is blocking between you and where you want to be. And Jesus said, do what?
Knock.
Knock. And what's the purpose of my knocking? Help me out.
So that it can
be opened. So that something would be opened to us. Look with me in the book of Revelation, the third chapter. Revelation 3, the Lord was speaking to the churches, the seven churches there. And in verse 7, he said to the angel of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that has the key of David. Now let's just stop right here. Let me remind you that Jesus told the disciples and us in Matthew 16 and also Matthew 18, he said, I give you the keys of the kingdom. The keys of the kingdom. Here he's talking about the key of David. Keys, what do you need keys for? Keys help you to unlock a door or to open a door or a gate, something that's in the way. He that has the key of David, he that what? Opens and no man shuts. And shuts and no man opens. Now, do we care about this?
Yes.
Obviously the Lord does. What's going on with this? Does opening and shutting matter?
Yes.
In the earth?
Yes.
He goes on to say, verse 8, he said, I know your works. Behold, I have set before you an open door.
Amen.
And no man can shut it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
If you got an open door, what can you do now? You don't need to knock anymore. It's open. Go on through. Is that right? Go on through. And when you go through, you enter into whatever's on the other side of the door. Huh?
Thank you, Lord.
Whether it's a 40-item buffet. Were there some really nice clothes and jewelry and furniture? Huh? Or what we're going to see in a moment, whether it is opportunity and freedom to preach the gospel.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And why would we need this? Why is it an issue? I'm glad you asked.
Uh-huh.
Go to just put on the screen and instead of taking the time to turn there, put up Acts 14:27. Acts 14:27. It says, when they were come and gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Everybody say, open the door.
Open the door.
Of what?
Faith.
Faith. Open the door of faith. What does that mean? Well, the Gentiles, these were people who were worshiping false gods. These are not Jewish proselytes or converts. These are lost people. And they're giving them a report of their missionary journeys and trip. And they're saying, yeah, we got over there. And God opened us a door. Hallelujah. And the Gentiles got faith from hearing the gospel, a door of faith. Then in Colossians 4, I'm just giving you a few examples. This is something you see throughout the New Testament. Colossians 4:3, He said, praying for us, doing what? Doing what? Doing what?
Praying.
Praying for us. Paul's talking about himself. Him, Paul. Praying for me and our team. Why? That God would open to us a door of utterance. To speak. For what? To speak the mystery of Christ. That's the gospel. That's what Christ has done for us in his redemptive work. How he has saved us. How he has made us righteous. How he has made us holy. How he has forgiven us. How he was made sick so we could be healed. How he was made poor so we could be rich. How the chastisement of our peace was on him so we could have the peace that passes understanding. This is good news. Hallelujah. And he said, pray for us so that we would have, that God would open a door of utterance. This is knocking.
Yes.
Huh? Knocking in prayer. Lord, we want a door open into this. I know back when I was, Phyllis and I were at Rhema and helping in the healing school and other things, Brother Hagin Sr., who's in heaven now, he led prayer. This was before there was a Rhema Bible Church or anything. He led prayer on Wednesday nights himself. And we were there for, you know, every Wednesday night for years. And one of the things he got on, and he stayed on month after month after month after month and year after year, that God would cause the gospel to go through and past what he called the Iron Curtain. Hallelujah. And this is back before, you know, back when it was the Soviet Republic, not the things that happened after, and there was the wall there in East Germany and all of that. This is back before all that. This is back in the early 80s and that kind of thing. And so we prayed that every Wednesday night. He said, the scripture said that God's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth.
Yes.
Not the precious fruit of North America or U.S., or the Western Hemisphere, the precious fruit of all the earth. And we would kneel down and we would pray and we would ask and we would knock. Huh?
Yes.
Got to get that gospel through.
Yes.
Got to get that gospel through. Through behind the Iron Curtain. And then he started praying about it. After that, eventually, we saw the fall of that. And we saw what happened with that. And then he started praying about the bamboo curtain.
Yeah.
Huh? What are we talking about? Access into there. Huh? The gospel. Access into there. Well, see, that's not only true concerning a nation. That's true concerning a person. Or a family, or a group, or a town, or a company. Instead of just wrestling with people and doing your best to try to show people and talk them into something, a lot of times there are barriers. There's things built up and defenses. And, you know, you can't get in without God's help. But that doesn't mean you just give up and quit. Huh? You ask. And you seek.
Yes.
And you
knock.
You knock.
Oh, yeah.
You say, Lord, we want in there.
Yes.
Lord, get us in there.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
We want something opened up so we can get in there.
Yes.
And do what? Not get in there and proselytize people to be exactly like us or westernize people. No, get in there with the gospel, the one and only good news. About what the Lord has really done for us.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I preached myself happy already. 2 Corinthians 2. 2 Corinthians 2, 11. He said, 2 Corinthians 2, 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. Furthermore, when I came to Troas to do what? To preach Christ's gospel and a door was open to me of the Lord. Hallelujah. A door, an opening, access, a way in, entrance in. And these are more than natural things. These are spiritual things, spiritual access. Notice in 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, 1 Corinthians 16 and 9, he said this. He said, "For a great door and effectual is open to me, and there are many adversaries." Why do you need to knock to start with? Why? Like we read last week in the book of Daniel.
Yes.
You remember that? In fact, let me just, some folks weren't with us, so I'll just read it again. In Daniel 10, you don't have to turn there, but in Daniel 10, last week we talked about Daniel's prayers. And what we saw is he sought and he found. He was asking and seeking and seeking, and he found. But he was met with resistance.
Yeah.
Resistance. And the scripture said that he had prayed and stood, and in one occasion, 21 days, and fasting and praying. And then he said an angel was sent to him. And verse 12 of Daniel 10, he said, "Fear not, Daniel," the angel said, "for from the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words." Why was he sent? Not randomly. Why sent now with this? Specifically because of Daniel's praying. That's why. It would not have happened automatically otherwise. "I'm come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Here is an angel of God being sent from heaven with revelation and direction and light and knowledge and understanding from God, from heaven, being met by opposition of an evil spiritual entity that held him up and interfered with him, didn't stop him, but held him up and resisted him for 21 days. You know, almost a month. Is that real?
Yes.
Or is that fantasy? We're talking about, why do we need to pray? And why would you need to pray and be persistent? And knock and keep knocking. And seek and keep seeking. Why? Because God's not withholding anything from us. This earth, I know it's not a nice thought. This earth is infested with evil. Multiple layers of it. And rank. And with these entities, it's all about control. Controlling the earth, controlling the human beings in it. And sadly, most people haven't got a clue that they are being influenced by evil. Thoughts come to them, feelings come to them, and they just yield to them. They just say anything that crosses their mind and don't realize they're being played, in some cases, like a puppet. But not us. I said, not us. We've been delivered from the power of darkness. We've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. But in order to be successful in prayer, we need to understand what's going on. And why would we need to knock? And why do we need to stand and be strong? Because there is resistance. Resistance. Go to Ephesians, if you would. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Thank you, Lord. Ask, it'll be given. Seek, you'll find. What else? Knock. Knock, and it'll be open to you. Glory to God. Ephesians 6 and 10. He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That's not just being strong in yourself. That's with His help. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God to do what with? That you may be able to stand against. Now, you're going to see that word mentioned another, what, four or five times in the next verse or two. Stand. We, those of us in Word and Faith circles, have kind of focused on the latter part, having done all to stand, stand. But keeping it in context, the word is used with the word against. Stand against. Stand against. Against what? What do I need to stand against? Do I need to stand against something?
Yes.
Why? What's going on? Well, keep reading. That you may stand, well, back up verse 11, stand against what?
Wise.
Now, you know, when it comes to talking about the forces of darkness, the devil and demons, these kind of things, people generally get in the ditch on one side or the other and miss the truth. And Lord, help me not to do that, and you. But if you hear teaching as a child of God, and when it's over, it just leaves you scared of the devil, that was not good teaching. Because as a child of God, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Resist the devil and what? What? He'll attack you? No, no. He'll flee. Why would He? Because of He who is in us. Because of the great name. Hallelujah. Jesus' name. But then people will go in the ditch on the other side of the road and act like, you know, these things don't even exist. The thing you want to know, you don't want to think about evil entities, personalities, that kind of thing, and forget about Hollywood. Horror stories were inspired by demons to trick you about what they actually are. They are not monsters. They are stripped, defeated foes. And the child of God should not fear them at all. At all. If you do, you're just thinking wrong. You're believing lies. But you do need to understand that they're here and that they're working. And the big thing to understand that they do is influence. What they do is influence. They're not flesh and blood. So they can't just do what they want to do in this realm. They have to find somebody they can influence. And to bring thoughts and to bring feelings and to push. And when you see people just mindlessly murdering somebody, cruelty, violence, there's spirits involved in that. You see people just killing themselves, getting hopeless and suicide, spirits are involved in that. These spirits have harassed these people and pushed them, and many times they didn't even know to resist it. Did you hear the phrase, stand against? Stand against. Do not let any of these influences of darkness get into you. You can't control every thought or feeling that comes against you from out here because the enemy's out here. You can control what gets in you. You can control what you think on, what you say, what you yield to and do or don't do. And that's why the scripture says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him an inch. Give him nothing. Nothing. That's what Jesus said, you know, right before He went to the cross. Obviously, there was a lot of pressure in the garden. His blood's coming out of His pores, going to the cross, being scourged, being crucified. And He said, but right before they took Him in custody, He said, the prince of this world comes, and he has nothing in me. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. They did stuff against Him, but the devil had nothing, nothing in him. I want to hear you say it. The devil has nothing in me. Nothing. Nothing. I've been delivered out of the power of darkness. I've been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. I belong to the Lord. Spirit, soul, and body, I belong to Him. The devil has nothing in me. Nothing in me. He didn't like that. Tough. He said, put on the whole armor of God to do what with? Stand against what? Not monster demon apparitions that appear. Wiles. Wiles is trickery. Deception. Trickery. Influence. Primarily thoughts and feelings and suggestions and pressure and fear. These kind of things. Stand against it. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but, in other words, but we do wrestle against, he mentions four categories, principalities, powers, rulers of the what?
Darkness
of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. Now let me go back over this again. Verse 11 says what? Whole armor of God, put it on, that you may be able to do what? Stand against. Look at verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against ruler. Are you seeing a theme here?
Yes.
Against. Huh? Against. Against. What's my part? What's your part? Anything that's of the enemy, we go, no, 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 no. Huh? We resist. We stand against. We won't give in. We won't yield to. That's how you fight the spirit fight. Not just by yelling and screaming at the devil. By standing against. And then he goes on to say, stand therefore. Well, verse 13, take to the whole armor of God. He's already said that in verse 11. That you may be able to withstand. That's another way of saying the same thing. In the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If you'll stand against, you'll stand and not fall. Verse 14, stand therefore. Having your loin, then he talks about things that depict the, that portray the armor of God. Truth is the first one he mentions. Truth is your protection. Righteousness is your protection. And your feet shod with the preparation of what? The gospel. The gospel. That's what all this is about. The gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation. You know, just knowing you're saved. It's hard for the enemy to do a lot with your head. Because no matter what comes up, you can always come back to this. I'm saved. I'm still saved. On my way to heaven. Shouting the victory. Huh? I'm saved. Saved. Am saved. Will be saved. Always saved. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword is offensive. Offensive. This is how you make way through. Take ground back. And look all of this. You're primed and exhorted to withstand and stand against. And stand. And you got all your armor on. To do what? Verse 18? Praying. praying all the time with all kinds of prayers and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And, in other words, praying for me, that utterance may be given me to do what? To do what, Paul? So that I can open my mouth and say it so boldly and so strongly and make known the mystery of the good news about Jesus Christ and His redemption and everything He's done for us. Because I'm an ambassador in bonds, that I may speak it boldly like I ought to speak. Boldly means you know what you're talking about. You know what you're saying. You are not hum-hawing around about it. You are confident. You're not saying it could be, it might be. You're saying it is. It is. Woo, it's right. But what... Go to 2 Corinthians before I say anything more about that. Go to 2 Corinthians. Well, on your way, just back up to Ephesians 2, since you're this close to that. Ephesians 2, and then we'll go to 2 Corinthians. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians 2 and verse 1. He said, you has He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. Why were you dead? According to the prince of the power of the air. Now see, in Ephesians 6, he mentioned four classes or categories of evil entities. The first one was called in King James principalities. That word literally means beginnings. It's also translated magistrate or chief. It's an entity that has local authority. The next one was just the word authorities, and that's delegated influence. The third one is a unique word with the word cosmos and darkness. It is a world ruler of darkness. And you can see these ranks get higher. These are a world ruler of darkness. See, something intercepted that angel, right? When Daniel was praying. And this happened more than once, if you read just in the book of Daniel. What is the enemy trying to keep out? Well, see, you and I and previous generations have been reading the book of Daniel for centuries. That revelation got in. Hallelujah. The devil did not want that revelation in. He did everything he could to keep it out. He couldn't keep it out. He delayed it a few days. That's the best he could do. But he was doing his best. Why? Because they don't want to lose their grip. They don't want to lose their control over people. And they're rulers of what? Darkness. And then the fourth category is called evil spiritual forces above the sky. Is a literal rendering. In the heavenlies is above the sky. Evil spiritual forces. Now these are unseen things. Doesn't mean they're not real. God's angels are unseen, but they're real. Right? God's Holy Spirit is unseen, but He's certainly real. You're a spirit. I'm a spirit inside this body. God's the Father of spirits. What's going on? Now go to 2 Corinthians if you would. I didn't finish reading this. Verse 1. You were dead in trespasses and sin. Verse 2. In time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's doing what? Working in the children of disobedience. The literal rendering is sons of disobedience. These are unpersuadable rebels. People that won't believe God and won't obey God are being influenced by the main rebel himself. Can you see this? He's breathed his rebelliousness and his disrespect and his being such a murderer and a liar. All the stuff you see of this in the earth, that's not coming from God. None of that's coming from God. That's all coming from these evil spirits. Now in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, if you'd look. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3. The Spirit of God says through Paul, if our gospel is hid, it's hid to those that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the what? The God of this world. These cosmos darkness rulers. What are they doing? They have blinded the minds. Well, what's blindness results in darkness. Right? Darkness, lack of light, blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. What are they trying to stop? They're trying to stop the gospel. What is the great commission to the whole church? Go into all the world. Right? Preach the gospel to every created being. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not will be condemned. And these signs will follow them that believes. And he went on to say, then they went everywhere and they preached and taught everywhere. And the Lord worked with them, confirming the word. Yeah. What word? The gospel. With signs following. Why do we need to pray? Why do we need to ask and seek and knock? Why do we need to be persistent? Why do we need to stand against? Well, you read the book of Acts. Everywhere Paul went, they had revival and riot. Huh? Why? What's going on? People paid their own way to follow Paul around and stir up trouble against him. That's demonically inspired. Right? Why would you do such a thing? Yeah. Because the devil is fighting a losing battle.
Right.
He's already been stripped.
Yep.
He's already been defeated.
Yeah.
If he could have stopped it, he would have stopped it a long time ago.
Yeah.
All he can do is to keep people blind, keep people in the dark, so he can keep controlling them and deceiving them and stealing and killing and destroying. But if you want to make an assault on darkness, you blast out and tell somebody the good news.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the light of those words.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Enlightens the hearts and minds. And when somebody sees their need of Jesus and they see what he has done for them and they believe and they receive and they confess, all the demons in hell cannot stop them from being delivered and healed and born again and blessed. Now there are still countries where if we preached publicly like we're doing today, in some countries in the world, they would execute you. What should we do? Do we need to do what Brother Hagin led us to do? I mean, we did that for years.
Yeah.
Over and over again. He'd read the same scriptures. Over and over again. He said, you know, the Lord's waiting for the precious fruit of all the earth. I mean, I can hear him right now. The precious fruit of all the earth. And he'd say the same thing. Not North America. Not South America. Not Europe. All the earth. The fruit of all the earth. And then we'd start praying in our understanding and wind up praying in the spirit in other tongues. And we'd say, Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Woo.
We would ask, is this the kind of prayer God can hear? Is this the kind of prayer that can change nations? Nations. Things happened, in that decade that people thought would never happen. But it did. And, of course, the enemy's back at it again. That thing in Ukraine and all that. The enemy's trying to take things back over and trying to put people back in darkness and bondage. But we are the church of the living God. And if we ask the Lord, He will intervene. And if we seek, we'll find. And if we knock, it'll be open to us. And He is the one who has stripped the enemy. He's got the keys of death and of hell. He's got the key and authority of David and the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And He opens and nobody can close. And He shuts the enemy down and nobody can open him back up. And He will do these things if we ask. Can you say amen? Stand on your feet, everybody. Oh, lift your hands and say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
This ministry has been brought to you today, free of charge, by the partners of More Life Ministries and Faith Life Church. If you would like to help send this word to others at no charge, you can become a word sender today. For more information, visit our website at morelife.org.